Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are starting the fourth parak of Maseches Maestros. Today we're going to be learning Parak Dalet Mishnah Aleph and Parak Dalet Mishnah Beis. We learned previously that on a Midaraisa level, on a Torah level, there are two things required in order for the Maaser obligation, the tithing obligation, to set in. Number one, there has to be a Gemar Malacha. It has to be fully processed. And number two, at least if you're going to bring it, to your family, you have to bring it into your home. And once you bring it into your home, then the Maaser obligation, the obligation to separate Maaser, sets in. Now, our mission now is going to begin by discussing some other things that on a Midaraisa level, even if you finished processing the food, but you did not bring it into your home, you would still be required to separate Maaser before eating it, and you would no longer be allowed to eat it in a temporary snack-like way. Now, the Bar Tanur in the beginning of our Mishnah actually gives a whole list of things that our Mishnah is going to allude to in this parak regarding things that require you to separate Maaser and then prohibit you from eating it any longer on a Durabanan level in a temporary, casual type of way. So we're just reading off this list from the Bar Tanur. Number one is or, is fire. If you cook it like we learned before, melach, as we learned in this Mishnah, if you salt it, then you're demonstrating real eating and you have to separate real miser. Vehamekach, like we learned previously, if you were to sell it, then you have to separate miser at that point. Vehatruma, if you separate truma gedolov to the kohen, then it requires you to separate miser as well. Vehashabbos, and as we learn in the next mission, in the second mission of the parak, if once Shabbos comes, then it requires you to separate miser for that food. Vehachatzer, as we learned in last parak, if you bring it into your courtyard, even if it's not in your home yet, at that point you're required to separate miser. And hamishtameres, if it is something that is guarded, that is protected, that is under your constant supervision, then you'd have to separate miser before continuing to eat it any longer in a casual type of a way. So that's what we're going to be learning now. Various things that require you at that point, once certain elements take place, would require you to separate the miser from the food before continuing to eat it in a casual type of way. Says the Mishnah, Hakovesh, if you were to pickle the vegetables in vinegar, Hasholik, if you were to partially cook them, Hamoleach, if you were to salt the produce. In all of these cases, Chai, if you are obligated to separate Maaser before continuing to eat it anymore, there's no more Achila Sarai, there's no more temporary eating that is allowed at that point. Continuing in the Mishnah, Ha Mechamein Ba'adama Pater, that if, however, you bury it into the ground, and the reason why you would bury your various vegetables and fruits really into the ground is to heat them up to hasten the fruits ripening. So says the Mishnah that if you were to bury various fruits into the ground, potter, you're still allowed to eat it. You'd be exempt from separating miser. You're still allowed to eat it in a temporary way, even when you take them out of the ground. Continuing in the Mishnah, hametabel basada potter. If you were to dip your fruits or dip your vegetables or dip your crops into either salt or vinegar or whatever the case may be, you would still be exempt from separating miser and you'd still be allowed to eat the food in a casual way. Even though we learned previously that if you salt the food and if you pickle the food and so on, then you would be obligated to separate miser at that point and you would no longer be allowed to eat the food in a temporary casual way. But that's really if you salt it, that's really if you pickle it, but simply dipping it into salt or vinegar would not accomplish that goal, and therefore you'd still be allowed to eat it without separating miser. Continuing in the Mishnah, Hapotzeya Zesim, if you were to bang and to smash the olives, a lot of times they would bang olives in order to get out some of the bittery liquids and burning liquids inside the olives. So if you're banging olives, Sheyetzim Eham Hasraf, that the burning liquids come out of the olives, Potter, you would also be exempt from separating miser. At that point, that's not considered to be real achila, and therefore, you would still be allowed to eat it in a temporary way. You're not really preparing it in such an adequate way for achila at that point, for eating at that point, and therefore, you can still eat it without separating miser. Continuing in the Mishnah, Hasochit Zesim al Bisaro, if a person squeezes olives onto his skin to anoint himself with the olive oil that comes out of the olives, Potter, there too as well, you would be potter, you'd be exempt from separating miser. It's not real preparation, and therefore you'd still be allowed to eat the food without separating miser and eat it in a casual way. Continuing in the Mishnah, im sachar v'nasam l'soch yado. If, however, you squeeze the olives and you make like a puddle of olive oil in your hand, you make like a little puddle, chayiv. Then says the Mishnah, you would be obligated to separate meiser at that point, because at that point you're creating this this flow of olive oil, and that's an established puddle of oil, and therefore you'd have to separate meiser before continuing to eat it at all. Finishing off the Mishnah, now says the Mishnah, HaMekape L'Tavshil Potter. If a person skims the top of wine, we learned previously in the Perek Aleph Mishnah Zion, that in order for wine to be considered processed for the purposes of separating meiser, you have to skim the top and remove some of the peel, some of the sediment, some of the things on the top of the wine that make it not as good, that are really still remnants from the grapes. So that was in terms of making the wine process for the purpose of requiring it to be separated from meiser. However, says our Mishnah, that if a person pours the wine into a pot of cooked food, you want wine with your food, and then you skim the wine with the tavshil, with that cooked food in it, putter, then you're still putter, you're still exempt from separating the meiser. You wouldn't have to separate the meiser, you'd still be able to drink the wine in a temporary snack-like way, because at that point there's still food in it that you are skimming. However, that's with the wine. However, says the Mishnah, likdeira, if there's an empty pot that you have the wine in, and you're skimming it, the wine, on top of the empty pot, then chayiv, then there you would be obligated to separate meiser at that point from the wine, mipnei shehu kvor katam, because that's really where you already have, like, it's a small cistern. It's basically a regular case of wine that you have, that you put in a little pot, and now you're processing it. And once you remove the sediments, and you remove the remnants of the grapes from the wine, at that point you're fully processing the wine, and therefore you need to separate the meiser before continuing to eat it in any type of a way. Continuing now with Perek Dalet, Mishnah Beis. Like we mentioned in the beginning, one of the things, additionally, that requires you to separate Meiser, that allows the obligation of Meiser to set in, is Shabbos. That if Shabbos comes, at that point, you're no longer allowed to eat it without separating Meiser. Says the Mishnah, Tinokos, a child, that doesn't literally mean a baby, it means a regular child, under bar mitzvah, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, a child, shetamnu te'enim l'shabbos, who sort of hides a secret stash of figs for Shabbos, v'shach chulash l'ashran, and forgets to separate meiser before Shabbos arrives. Says the Mishnah, lo ye'ochlu le'motzei Shabbos ad she'ye'osru, you can't eat it even on motzei Shabbos until you separate meiser. The intents of the children are significant. Once Shabbos comes, it requires you to then separate meiser, so he forgot to separate meiser, so at that point you can't eat the food. Certainly on Shabbos you're not allowed to separate meiser, because it's like being misaking a kli. It's like you're fixing the fruit, and you can't be misaking, you can't fix anything on Shabbos, so you certainly can't separate the meiser on Shabbos itself. And on Motzei Shabbos, Shabbos came, so now you can't eat it as well until you separate the meiser, the tithing, on Motzei Shabbos. Continuing now in the Mishnah, says the Mishnah, Kalkolas Shabbos. Let's say you have a special Shabbos basket. Right? A lot of kids and families will have Shabbos drawers for special Shabbos foods and Shabbos snacks. So let's say a person formally designates certain food and puts it in this Shabbos basket before Shabbos, and says, this is going to be in our special Shabbos basket. Beis Shammai Potrin, Beis Shammai exempts you from separating the meiser if you change your mind before Shabbos. Let's say you put it in the basket, and then before Shabbos, you're like, you know, I'm just going to eat it before Shabbos. Says Beis Shammai, because it's before Shabbos and Shabbos hasn't yet come, you're exempt from separating meiser, because you'll eat it in any temporary, casual type of way. Uveis Hillel Mechayiv, but Beis Hillel disagrees and says, no, you're absolutely still obligated to separate meiser, because once you set it aside for Shabbos, you can't go back, and you must separate the meiser before continuing to eat it in any type of a way. Finishing off the mission, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Af halokit es hakalkala l'shloach l'chaver. Even if you were to gather certain foods in a regular basket to send to your friend as a matana, to send to your friend as a gift, lo yochol achi is asher, there too he cannot eat it until meiser is taken. Even if he changes his mind, then it's not going to be a gift. He's still not allowed to eat it at all until you separate meiser. According to Rabbi Yehuda, setting aside food for gifting requires a separation of meiser. But as the Bartonura points out, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Quick review, Perek Dalid Mishnah Aleph discussed a whole slew of types of eatings, pickling and partially cooking and salting and so on, that if you do these preparatory steps and take these preparatory steps for a food, then it allows the obligation of Maaser to set in, and you can no longer eat these crops and these foods and these produce once they have been salted, partially cooked, or pickled. However, says the Mishnah, when it comes to burying them in the ground to ripen them, or when it comes to dipping them into salt or vinegar, or when it comes to banging the olives in order to take out some of the burning liquids, or when it comes to squeezing olives onto your skin, in all of these cases, you'd be putter from separating Maaser. Even though you're doing these things that are somewhat preparatory, you're still exempt, you're still not obligated to separate Maaser, you can still continue to eat these crops in a temporary way. However, said the Mishnah, if you were to squeeze the olive oil onto your hand and create like a puddle of olive oil in your hand, at that point you would be obligated to separate Maaser before continuing to eat the olives or the olive oil. Then the Mishnah concluded by telling us that in a case where you have wine that you pour into a pot with a cooked food, there, if you skim the wine to remove some of the sediment from the grapes, there too, you are exempt from separating Maaser because there's a cooked food there. It's really made for the food, and therefore you wouldn't have to separate Maaser at that time. You can still drink it in a temporary, casual type of way. However, the Mishnah said that if you put it in a kedera, in an empty pot, certainly there, it's just like regular case where you put wine in a cistern and are removing the sediment, and therefore removing the sediment there would be considered to be preparing it, processing it fully, and therefore you would not be allowed to eat that food any longer, the drinks any longer, the wine any longer, until you separate Maaser. And then Perek Dalet Mishnah Beis discussed the case of a child who hid figs for Shabbos and forgot to separate Maaser for them. So we said that you can't eat them on Motzei Shabbos until they are tied, until Maaser is separated, because again, you're not allowed to, once Shabbos arrives, the obligation of Maaser sets in. And then the Mishnah continued by discussing a case where a person just takes the produce and puts them into like a special Shabbos basket, and there was a machlokas there between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the obligation of a separating Maaser there. Beis Shammai said that if you change your mind and you want to eat it still before Shabbos, you'd be exempt from separating Maaser, you could still eat it. However, Beis Hillel says that once you establish it and set it aside for Shabbos, at that point, the obligation of Maaser automatically sets in. And the Bartender says that we actually paskin like Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel is stricter here. We paskin like Beis Hillel. And then Rabbi Yehuda says that even if you send set aside food for gifting and send it to a friend for gifting, there too, once you set it aside for gifting, you can't eater until you separate Maaser. But again, as the Bartender points out, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Have a great day.